I sat with Mouse, stroking his head gently.
Okay, I said to Molly. What happened?
She sat up and looked at me. She looked like she wanted to throw up. Her nose was running now.
It occurred to me, Harry, that, well, if the traitor wanted to really set the council at one another's throats, the best way to do it would be to force one of them to do something unforgivable, like maybe force Morgan to kill Wizard Lafortier.
Gee, I said, that never once occurred to me, though I am older and wiser than you and have been doing this for most of your life, whereas you've been in the business for just under 4 years. She flushed.
Yes. Well, then I thought that the best way to use that sort of influence wouldn't be to use it on Morgan, she said, but on the people who would be after him.
I lifted my eyebrows. Okay, I said. At this point, I have to ask you if you know how difficult it is to manipulate the mind and will of anyone of significant age. Most wizards who are 80 or 100 years old are generally considered more or less immune to that kind of gross manipulation.
I didn't know that, Molly said humbly. But what I'm talking about wouldn't be a severe alteration to anyone. It wouldn't be obvious, she said. You wouldn't make someone turn into a raving lunatic and murderer. I mean, that's sort of noticeable. Instead, you make sure that you just sort of nudge the people who are chasing after Morgan into being a little bit more like what you want them to be.
I narrowed my eyes. It was an interesting line of thought. Such as?
Well, she said, if someone is naturally quick to anger and prone to fighting, you highlight that part of their personality. You give it more importance than it would have without intervention. If someone is prone to maneuvering politically to take advantage of a situation, you bring that to the forefront of their personality. If someone is nursing a grudge, you shine a spotlight on it in their thoughts, their emotions, to get them to act on it.
I thought about that one for a second.
It's how I'd do it, Molly said quietly, lowering her eyes.
I looked at the young woman I'd been teaching. When I saw Molly, I always saw her smile, her sense of humor, her youth, and her joy. She was the daughter of a close friend. I knew her family and was often a guest in their home. I saw my apprentice, the effort she put into learning, her frustrations, and her triumphs. I had never, until that very moment, thought of her as someone who might one day be a very, very scary individual. I found myself smiling bitterly. Who was I to throw stones?
Maybe, I said finally. It would be one hell of a difficult thing to prove.
She nodded.
But if it was going to be used, there's one person who would without doubt be a target.
I glanced at Lucio. Her mouth was open slightly as she slept. She was drooling a little. It was ridiculous and adorable.
Yeah, Molly said, but she would never have let me look. You know she wouldn't have.
For good reason, I said. Molly's jaw tensed up for a second.
I know.
So you thought you'd look while everyone was unconscious, I said, when you wouldn't get caught. She shrugged her shoulders. You told yourself that you were doing the right thing, I said, just a peek, in and out. She closed her eyes.
I was... Harry, what if she isn't being honest with you? What if all this time she's been getting close to you because she doesn't trust you? What if she's just like Morgan, only a lot better at hiding it?
You don't know what you're talking about, I said.
No? She met my eyes. Whose apprentice was he, Harry? Who taught him to be the way he is? Who did he idolize so much that he modeled himself after her?
I just sat there for a second. Molly pressed the issue.
Do you honestly think that she never knew how Morgan treated you?
I took a deep breath. Then I said, yeah, I think that.
She shook her head. You know better.
No, I said, I don't.
You should she said fiercely. I couldn't take the chance that she would let you go down with Morgan. I had to know.